This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The new tariff target for President Trump, Canadian dairy and lumber.
And those potential lumber tariffs, those could be really painful. That's because we import about 30% of our lumber from Canada, and then home building companies, construction companies, they would bear that higher cost. They'd likely pass it on to consumers by raising home prices.
ABC's Selena Wang. A 14-year-old is facing a murder charge in New Jersey's largest city. Authorities say he killed Newark police officer Joseph Ascana in a Friday night shooting. Five people are in custody, including a 14-year-old charged with murder. Another officer was shot but didn't suffer any life-threatening injuries. At least 20 people killed in overnight Russian strikes on Ukraine. They follow the U.S. cutting off of Ukraine's access to commercial satellite data as the White House urges Ukraine to accept a peace deal. Friday, for the first time in more than a decade, South Carolina carried out an execution by firing squad. This is ABC News. Foreign ministers from Muslim nations rejecting calls by President Trump to empty the Gaza Strip of its Palestinian population. Today, gathering of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, backing a plan for an administration committee of Palestinians to govern the territory and allow reconstruction to go ahead. Well, everybody seems to be doing a podcast these days, and now King Charles has partnered with Apple Music, and he has launched his own.
It is a first for a British monarch.
All right, we're jamming.
King Charles launched a music podcast featuring some of his favorite tunes, from Bob Marley to Kylie Minogue, and more artists showcasing the king's love of music and his eclectic list from around the Commonwealth. The music project with Apple Music is called The King's Music Room, the debut from his office at Buckingham Palace. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
And I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Wisconsin universities are bracing for the possibility of immigration officials on their campuses after a new normal from the Trump administration. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
According to the Higher Ed Immigration Portal, nearly 16,000 international students are enrolled at Wisconsin schools. President of the American Federation of Teachers, Randy Weingarten, says campuses are seeing a chilling effect due to hostilities toward international community members.
Higher education should be the bastion of free ideas and academic freedom, because how do you create new things? How do you innovate? How do you imagine if you don't actually create academic freedom?
There are also more than 50,000 first and second generation college students in Wisconsin. An institution's approach to making things safe and welcoming may now change that ICE is allowed on campus. Tanya Broder with the National Immigration Law Center points out that immigration agents can only legally enter public, not private, areas of campus without a warrant.
It's very helpful to plan in advance when you can to have a real procedure for when people are showing up and trying to enter someplace where you have a reasonable expectation of privacy.
The American Federation of Teachers is advising schools to provide legal and mental health support for people who may be affected, offer Know Your Rights training, reaffirm student data and privacy protections, and issue public statements of support. Hattie Gassama with the UndocuBlack Network spoke to higher education leaders on a recent webinar.
You are protective of your students. And two, go outside of the campus and be advocates.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunshine today and a little breezy. We'll see a high near 50 degrees and a strong south wind at times. Mostly clear tonight, lows in the mid-20s. Sunshine, 55 for Sunday, sunny and 65 for Monday. For Tuesday, mostly sunny, 52.
Right now, it's 55.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, joining us next time. We'll take a look back at the news of the weekend and also discuss Ukraine, why what's happening there matters here in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Saturday afternoon, loving it. It's the weekend. I know everybody out there's, you know, hanging out, kicking back, wondering, is it really spring? Is it really coming? Tim, I don't know. You don't ask me. Why don't we ask Johnny and Jess? Jess, what's happening? You feeling like a little bit of spring nowadays?
I am. Every time I take my daily walk, I'm making a note of passing every single tree, every single bush, and looking for those itty-bitty little buds that are now coming out. And every time I pass them, they're a little bit bigger, a little bit fuller. And I know, within the next couple of weeks, we're going to have that gorgeous Wisconsin spring where everything will be in bloom. It'll be gorgeous. I'll be sneezing, and it'll all be worth it.
Johnny, what about you, man?
Yeah, man. Hey, I love Saturday afternoons with all the listeners. I love our teachers out there who listen in and folks through Civic Media who, you know, tune in and are part of this conversation. And I'm excited because it's a little special episode today, a little rekindling of, you know, of our great friendship and working together with the Wisconsin Public Education Network. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, I'm feeling like it's spring. But that little bit inside of me has been like, you know, it's not uncommon for there to be a big snow in March. It wouldn't shock me if we got dumped on any one of these days. But I'm with Jess. I'm enjoying, you know, the nice afternoons, taking breaks between teaching classes, going outside. In fact, even taking the class outside a bit to just breathe some of that air. I mean, the flu was going around this year. I felt like we've been inside teaching way too much. And we know that's when school starts to seep in. So it's good to get outside, breathe in, and feel some of that spring energy.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, I saw out there, absolutely, Jess, you're looking at the buds in my front yard under the bushes. Yeah, the crocus, they're already pushing through, coming through. I know I'm probably a little bit advanced. Yes, I'm here in Ohio, a little bit further along than Wisconsin, but yeah, it is on its way. It feels, you know, there's something about that when you go out and you see that, you're like, wow, it is going to be spring again. You know, the darkness and the coldness and the sadness that has really ushered in this winter, maybe we can push it away and move on to something better. Hey, you know, check it out, though. BustedPencils.com. Want to put this out there first and foremost. Yes, everybody's like, what about the website for Busted Pencils? I've been going to it. It says not there, or it forwards to Civic Media. Yeah, and we love that with Civic Media because the connections that we have there. But BustedPencils.com is up and live, new and improved, reformatted. great pictures of the hosts, great pictures of the supporters, connections to all of our partnerships. Check it out. Hey, there's even some awesome testimonials. Producer Jess even gave us a really amazing testimonial.
Well,
Jess,
of course.
We didn't even pay you for it, right?
No, you didn't. You didn't have to.
love it. Hey, Johnny, you made a reference to, yeah, we are back. We are so glad. Wisconsin Public Education Network said when we were 5 days a week, we knew we had them once a month. They were there all the time. What a great executive director, Heather Du Bois-Bernain. Heather, welcome back to Busted Pencils. What's going on in your world?
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be back and nice to see you all are still keeping the show going. We really need your voices out there. It's snowing here, so I believe in the promise of spring that you've alluded to, Tim, but I'm yet to see the proof of it.
That's all right, though. You know what's coming. Heather, you know, what... There's not been a whole lot of, no, I'm just being sarcastic. What is going on in the world? What's WPEN been up to? I mean, I know we have got plenty to talk about, but, you know, just kind of a little, what's been going on since last we talked to you?
Well, gosh, I'm trying to remember when that was. Was it before or after the fall election? Maybe I'll just start there. I mean, I'll just say we hit the ground running after the fall election and haven't stopped since. Wisconsin had the opportunity in that election to put its new maps to the test, and voters have elected some new public education champions at the state level who are really elevating the discourse and how we talk about you know, what kids need and what they're getting from the state at that level. So that has been, you know, something kind of positive to see. And even though there is still an imbalance of power, you know, we have a check and balance system in the governor's veto at the Capitol, which has given us a little bit of a safety net against some really bad ideas, which of course came right out of the gate, you know, when the legislative session started in the fall. So we've just been trying to keep tabs on what's happening at the state level. But you might also remember that last fall and last year in general, Wisconsin had a record number of school districts that were going to school referenda. So people have voting to raise taxes on themselves at the ballot box. And I'm really proud to say that of that record number of people we had on the ballot with those school ballot measures, a whopping 78% of them passed. So even in the reddest, most pro-Trump districts in the state, we saw bipartisan support for strong and thriving public schools. And once again, more evidence in case anybody needed any, that the public education is not a partisan issue, that people want to invest their tax dollars in making sure that kids have what they need and that they're even willing to raise their own local property taxes to do it when the state isn't stepping up. And so that was affirming and reassuring. But the bad news is, since the state isn't doing its job, we've got record numbers coming up again. And this year already, in both our February and April first elections, we have 86 school districts that are going to referenda again. That's out of our total 421. And so we are just in really unprecedented times right now, where we've been forced to fund our schools through these local pass or fail measures, which, you know, some people say, well, that's the way it's supposed to work. Trust voters to do what's right. But what happens when they don't? Our gaps get wider, the problems get bigger, and everything that we've set out to fix just becomes a bigger problem. And so here we are again, kind of spinning our wheels and dealing with that. And that's been kind of priority number one so far for 2025.
Johnny.
Yeah, you know, Heather, thanks for being back with us and being on the show for our listeners. And it's just dawning on me, too, since you did mention, it has been a minute while we blinked, and here we are back again. So for listeners tuned in, who aren't familiar with the WPEN and with like, wow, this Heatherly knows a lot about what's going on in education in Wisconsin, reintroduce our listeners to the organization. And that'll help bring us up to some of the, I mean, you alluded to it, but some of the, you know, public schools week, day of action shared a video with us. And we're going to talk about that, listeners. But before we do that, Heather, reintroduce WPEN to our great listeners.
Yeah, thanks for, I totally skipped that step. For people who are listening, they're like, who the heck is that lady? Why is she so mad? We are a statewide coalition of people like me who are kind of accidental experts in school finance, who have been on a, you know, watching what has been going on at the school level, at the district level, at the state level, at the federal level, and wondering, how do we protect our kids from all of these cuts, from all of these crazy bills that don't seem to have anything to do with what kids really need? How do we make sure that our funding formula, which seems so broken and unfair, is actually fixed in real time, you know, while kids are still in our schools? And we're getting organized where we live across the state and then standing up together where democracy gives us a chance to do so and to be a stronger collective voice, too. So sharing resources, sharing information and ideas, and trying to make it easier to do local level action that'll have statewide impact is our whole theory of change. So folks can go to wisconsinnetwork.org. Find a local advocacy group near you. All of the groups in our network do nonpartisan organizing where they live to make sure that voters know what's going on their ballots and that we are paying attention to what's happening at our local school boards and that we're following what's going on at the state house so that when it's time to stand up for kids, we're ready to do that. And that's what we do. We connect people to information, actions, and each other all over the state. And we've got folks in all 72 counties. And we'd love to have you join us because, frankly, it's going to take a much bigger army to fight back against some of the threats that we're seeing to our public schools right now. And this is not a test. There's some serious stuff at stake, and we're really worried about some of it.
Yeah, we definitely are. Our guest for you out there, Heather Du Bois Bernane, Wisconsin Public Education Network, bringing it back, making sure everybody is aware of organizations, particularly this one, who really puts together the advocacy around public schools. Heather, as you said, this accidental expert. I love that too, because what that shows though too is that, you know, people going, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to talk about. I don't know what to do. Hey, guess what? You can do this too. You know what? You don't need to be Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. In fact, you know, what you really need to be is a concerned, passionate parent, citizen, resident, neighbor who recognizes that the public schools of our neighborhoods, of our communities, of our townships, they really provide something that we just don't want to give up. We don't want to see it demonized. We don't want to see it underfunded. We don't want to see it cut. That's why we have organizations like Wisconsin Public Education Network. Johnny, you made reference to, you know, making public schools week day of action. We're going to have a lot more to come back with that. Heather gave us a little video. We're not going to show the video, but we're going to talk about it. Busted Pencils. More when we get back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Had to let that go for a little bit. Checking it out. Yes, that was a bad impression of dancing. Anybody watching that one? Sorry about it, but love it. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Before we get back into the interview, though, we want to plug this and let you know. BustedPencils.com. It's up. It's live. It's back. Check it out.
It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. We love it. Find all the shows. Find, you know, lots of other extra things, too. Be surprised. Enjoy. Love it. Let us know what you think about it, too. There's a direct way you can contact and let us know everything that's going on. BustedPencils.com. And you know what? Special shout out to Educators Amplified, particularly Teacher Hallie. We got to put it out there. Teacher Hallie is a web designer extraordinaire. Where did it come from? Teacher Hallie working in combination, though, too, with that team at Nerdy Bird and really getting that branding put together. Michelle and Lisa at Nerdy Bird working together with Teacher Hallie. Man, it's amazing. BustedPencils.com. Check it out. We are so happy to be joined by our friend, our connection, our partner. In fact, we even list them on the new BustedPencils.com. You can find them. The Wisconsin Public Education Network. We've got our friend Heather with us, executive director, talking about everything, reacquainting each other. But Heather, and we know we're going to have the video up so that people can link and watch this video. But the Wisconsin, the public schools week of action, you provided us a week day of action video from the 28th. What's happening there? What's going on? What the heck were you so mad about?
Well, we were mad about a lot of things, but we were also enjoying the opportunity that National Public Schools Week affords us to do something we don't do enough, which is just celebrate all of the amazing things that are happening in every single public school in the state, in spite of it all. And so just sharing those stories, seeing people's local celebrations, amplifying those great stories of, you know, people who stay connected to their educators or sharing impacts of, you know, public schools on their lives over their years was, such a refreshing break from the chaos and madness that has been 2025 so far on all fronts. But we also recognize that, appreciation is hollow if it doesn't come with some action. And so we encourage people to put their appreciation into action year round, not just on Public Schools Week, but during Teacher Appreciation Week and really every time they see some way that they can stand up for their public schools. And so we challenged ourselves this year to really bring people together and close out Public Schools Week strong by connecting the dots between what we want to see, our vision for thriving public schools where every kid truly does have equal access to the resources they need to shine and thrive and be happy at school, to what they're getting from their local leaders, from their state leaders, and from, kind of the system writ large. So we gathered at the Capitol and we invited some representatives from those 100 and 80 some school districts all over the state that had gone to referenda in the last year. And we asked them to come tell their stories and say, what are you fighting for? You know, and what's standing in the way of getting that? And so we had 1 hour of amplification time, because that's how long you can get a permit in the Capitol Rotunda. And we tried to squeeze as many stories as we could into that hour. And we were just overwhelmed with the enormity of the struggle, the frustrations, and the hope and the love and the success stories that were side by side with some of the hard failure stories. And we're able to remind people that none of this came from nowhere. The reason that so many districts are forced to go to the ballot box and vote to raise taxes to fund public schools is because we are currently in our 16th year in a row of state budgets that have not even kept pace with inflation. So every single year has been a cut for the past 16 years. And that, and one of those years, you might remember 2011, that was the first Scott Walker budget, was the biggest cut ever to public schools. And so not only have we not recovered from that, we have gotten worse since. And so that is a hard and bitter pill to swallow, but we're seeing the impacts of it statewide. At the Capitol, while these folks were speaking, we had one of our colleagues, Jenny Hofschulte, who's been on your show before. She's our Milwaukee-based regional organizer, stood up on the second floor balcony in the Capitol and unfurled a scroll of paper that had the names of every district that has gone to referenda just since the passage of the last budget 2 years ago. That scroll went down to the floor of the below, over the next balcony, down to the Capitol Rotunda floor, all the way across that floor and like way deep into the hallway. There have been 419 standalone questions on ballot since that last budget. And Wisconsin only has 421 districts. That's over two-thirds of our district have gone to referenda in the last 2 years alone. Some of them more than once, because the first ones didn't pass. And that includes both capital and operating and building referenda. But part of the reason we're seeing so many building referenda is because there are so many building needs with deferred maintenance issues that, you know, districts can't afford to keep their buildings in order anymore. And so just the cumulative effect of all of this is staggering. And we use the opportunity to call on the state to set the story right by doing better in the next budget. We could fix all of this tomorrow if we just, for example, funded special education, which we currently fund at the worst rate in the nation, 29%. Let's fund it at 90% like the voucher kids get. If you have a special needs voucher, you're entitled to both 150% of that actual voucher plus a 90% reimbursement rate if you need more support on top of that. Why do we have a double standard for public and private schools in that category when we know the needs are so great? Let's level the playing field all around, give our schools the spendable and adequate aid they deserve, and close that special ed funding gap. Two simple things we could do in the next budget. And frankly, we can afford to do it. There's enough money in the state to cover that. We just need to reset our priorities a little bit and align them with the needs of our children.
Wow. People listening out there going, who the heck was that? Hey, that's the Heather Du Bois Renane. That mad lady, a Wisconsin Public Education Network. Yeah. Lots going on. Check it out though. When we get back, Heather, maybe dig a little bit deep into the reality that we are all now dealing with is a Trump administration and the directions to dismantle the Department of Education and how that might be playing out, and some thoughts that Wisconsin Public Education Network has regarding that. It's Busted Pencils. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The new tariff target for President Trump, Canadian dairy and lumber.
And those potential lumber tariffs, those could be really painful. That's because we import about 30% of our lumber from Canada, and then home building companies, construction companies, they would bear that higher cost. They'd likely pass it on to consumers by raising home prices.
ABC's Selena Wang. A 14-year-old is facing a murder charge in New Jersey's largest city. Authorities say he killed Newark police officer Joseph Azcana in a Friday night shooting. Five people are in custody, including a 14-year-old charged with murder. Another officer was shot but didn't suffer any life-threatening injuries. At least 20 people killed in overnight Russian strikes on Ukraine. They follow the U.S. cutting off of Ukraine's access to commercial satellite data as the White House urges Ukraine to accept a peace deal. Friday, for the first time in more than a decade, South Carolina carried out an execution by firing squad. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It's the Bucks against the Magic. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks with back-to-back games at home. Tonight against the Orlando Magic. Tomorrow night against the Cavaliers. Milwaukee has won four in a row. Bucks shooting guard A.J. Green.
I feel like we've just come together more as a team and are continuing to trust each other more and have been putting a lot of focus on that. And so I think you've been able to see that for us and how we played. And it's just going to be continuing to take next steps with that, you know, on defense and continuing to do it consistently on offense.
NFL, only four players have played 16 years or more in Green Bay. Bart Starr, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and kicker Mason Crosby, who retired yesterday.
I am a culture, team, relationship guy. That's why Green Bay was perfect for me. You know, I chose to stay here over and over again. Never went to free agency until my last year. I chose this place as it chose me, and God's plan was set in place a long time ago that this was where I was supposed to be, and I'm thankful for that every day.
That's Mason Crosby with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunshine today and a little breezy. We'll see a high near 50 degrees and a strong south wind at times. Mostly clear tonight, lows in the mid-20s. Sunshine, 55 for Sunday, sunny and 65 for Monday. For Tuesday, mostly sunny, 52.
Currently, 53 degrees.
When you're in the thick of a project, Harbor Freight is the place that always comes in handy. Whether you're picking up something for your pickup truck or a power tool for your project, at Harbor Freight, your dollar always goes further. And these days, when everything seems to cost more, you can take pride in knowing that you get hard-working tools at hard-working prices. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome in author Laura Ann Bird to talk to us more about what we can find in a book, or in the case of this week, a book club.
It's called a silent book club. You go to either a coffee shop or distillery or bar with a bunch of other people. You're all reading different books. You walk away from these with like great recommendations. It's sort of like a show and tell of what everyone's reading.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Dr. Omar, we sometimes think I'm going to lose weight. I'm at the gym 3-4 times a week, and then 2 months down the road, they see that they've lost 3 pounds.
Think of the four main things to help us balance: how I sleep, how I eat, how I live, and my relationships. Don't shy away from seeking therapy. We need to seek that support to keep our health goals going.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
I'm practicing my quiet voice because Monday is my wife's birthday and she's sleeping in. One of the occupational hazards of trying to do a radio show from home.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
listeners, us essentials, fully leaded education talk. That's right, progress and democracy. Love that. Love that music that brings us back with the energy. We're here, listeners, with you, but also with our special guest, Heather, from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, bringing us up to speed on things that are going on, not only in Wisconsin, but with the network. I'm amped and energized by the video that, listener, you know, you'll get to kind of click on a link that we'll share in the description, and you can see visually how powerful that scroll is that Heather's talking about. And the images, I mean, I've been to the Capitol a few times in Madison. One of them, my first visit, being the teachers occupying the Capitol building. And it took me back to that. It reminds me, this is what democracy looks like. Collective voice of educators, collective voice of concerned parents, of students who are saying, hey, we the people demand a better public education. And I love, Heather, that you reminded us, listeners, and Tim and I, that this is an interesting time, because we are really seeing in the voting numbers that public education is not only nonpartisan, but it's valued across our different communities. And this is a really important thing for folks to know about and listen, you know, to the information on that. So I'd like to take us in that direction if we can. Let's kind of get into, well, I guess we should probably touch on things happening at the federal level, because it is going on, but then turn our attention to the powerful local things that are on the dock that are coming up really soon. I mean, it's spring. We talked about the promise of spring, but really soon we have some very important elections coming up for public education. So Heather, talk a little bit about federal stuff happening, how the network is kind of, you know, responding or thinking about things. And then let's just talk about that really important local stuff that listeners are probably going to be excited to be active in.
Yeah, I know. First of all, democracy is giving us a lot of chances to raise our voice right now, and it can be overwhelming. There is just so much news to track and so many distractions that are being thrown at us at the state level. We have all these crazy bills that, you know, no one in the public education community has been asking for, and yet nonetheless are sucking up time and energy. On the federal front, we have ridiculously dangerous ideas that have actual traction for the first time, around such things as abolish the Department of Education and, you know, unfund IDEA, right? And, you know, these are ideas that really significantly put kids at risk. And so, yes, there is a time for letting your congressional representatives know that you expect them to protect Wisconsin kids and protect federal dollars to our public schools, which are so critically needed, and to protect the Department of Education that our schools depend on for guidance and transparency and predictability and all the other things. So yes to reaching out, but also yes to showing up. And one place that people really have to show up right now is at the ballot box. We are 2 weeks away from a big election on April 1. And I'm not using hyperbole in saying that this election is just as important as the November 1 for public schools. We've got school board races all over the state. Like I said, we've got 86 school referenda questions in communities around the state. And we've got two things at the top of the ballot that matter to every single kid in every single public school: the race for the state superintendent of public instruction and the race for state Supreme Court, both of which have, you know, dramatically meaningful impacts on just how we do school and how we hold our state accountable to doing right by its kids.
On that then, Heather, let's jump into it. Department of Public Instruction, state superintendent, two candidates. Who are they? What are we thinking? Come on, jump in there.
Okay. Well, first of all, I will say that, you know, we are a nonprofit organization. Right. We are a 501c3. We do not endorse candidates, but we do try to do whatever we can to make sure that people are educated about who's running and where they stand. And here's what we know about the two candidates. We have the incumbent, Dr. Jill Underley, who is seeking her second term, and it came through the primary as the very top vote getter by quite a bit. She has been a great friend to our network and has been an active partner since the time that she was a superintendent herself in the Pecatonica School District, and has been very strong on a lot of the issues that we champion for, just making sure that kids' basic needs are being met. And she put forward a very strong budget, which the governor, moved forward in his budget address as well, that, calls for closing our special education gap and really restoring some of our commitments to some key areas. And so she's hoping to get a second term, and she's being challenged by a woman who lives in the Milwaukee area who used to work for the City Forward Collective, which is an organization that promotes voucher and charter expansion, and sees herself as, I would say, most generously, maybe a critical friend of public schools, and is a very reform-minded person. So the choice is pretty clear there ideologically and where those two candidates stand, and voters would do well to look into the policy positions of the two candidates before casting their ballots on April 1st.
You said nonpartisan, WPEN, just making sure that the education around candidates is, number one. And so who are these people? Check it out. Make sure you are well informed. Questions regarding those candidates, find their platforms, put out a call if you've got something. That's what they're there for. Dig deep, because being informed, Johnny said, democracy, right? Partially, or maybe full 100%, you want to really be a participant. You got to know what's happening. You got to understand what's going on. Johnny, I see you nodding in agreement.
Well, yeah, we have Heather here, and I think this is clear for us and maybe some of our listeners, a lot of them, seasoned vets of education and especially of superintendency races. But you know what, Tim, we always talk about our neighbors. And I just thought, while we have Heather here too, Heather, let's just talk about, what does the superintendent do? And why is this such an important election? Because I think we hear about it often as I won't say casual voter, as an active voter that might not be clued into education, but kind of just overview, why is the superintendent race so important?
Personally, I think of the state superintendent as kind of the champion in chief. This is the person who has the largest microphone in the state for standing up for what kids need, and is our number one ambassador to state leaders at the Capitol. Wisconsin is in a unique and lucky position in that this is an elected position for us. A lot of states don't have that, right? And so we have a lot of say in what kind of school policy priorities we want to put forward. And we use our voice in making that say by electing somebody who shares our vision and values for kids. And so it's really important to make sure that the person who's holding that office is somebody who's going to stand up for things like making sure all kids' needs are being met, for making sure that no kids are having their rights violated in publicly funded schools, for making sure that the state is doing its job by providing adequate resources to implement all of the policy measures that it's putting forward, and so on. And so that's what I'm looking for in a candidate for state superintendent, is somebody who has a track record of really fighting for those things and making sure that the state is meeting its constitutional obligation to make sure that our public schools are as uniform as practicable, as our constitution says, and that our teachers, our schools in our district have the supports they need from the state level to meet those goals. It's a very big job, and making sure that you're choosing somebody who is fully credentialed to meet those needs and understands the operations of public schools from all levels is really critical.
I love that. I love that. Thanks, Heather. So if you're out there listening saying, yeah, I know this superintendent thing, but why is it so important? Perfectly heard right here why it's so important. And Tim, we happen to have had one of the current superintendent on Busted Pencils. So you can always loop back and listen to this. She is an advocate for public schools and for children. And we've been quite honored to have her on, talking specifically when we had her on about school lunch and nutrition and not important in the budget she had proposed. But this is an important election, folks, as is your local elections for school boards. Heather, while we have you, I mean, we keep grilling you with questions, but this is stuff that the Wisconsin Public Education Network, they are, as Heather said, accidental experts, but I would say are experts on this for their civic responsibility and defenders of public education. Heather, school board elections, those are also really important. Help our listener understand the importance of those.
I know the listeners out there know how important it is to elect good people to your school boards, because these are people who are paying attention to these issues, and they know that policy at the local level can help or harm kids in a lot of serious ways. And we have seen what I can call some hostile takeovers of Wisconsin school boards by people who are motivated not by meeting kids' needs, but by ideological or political agendas that are leading to things like totally unproductive book bans, or trying to restrict how teachers can and can't teach in their own classrooms, or whether or not we're going to treat students with dignity in our schools and respect the rights of LGBTQ kids to thrive in our school buildings. Our boards actually have a lot of authority in this state to do good or do damage. And so making sure that we have strong local level leadership is super, super critical. We also need to be electing school board members who are going to fight for our districts too and show up at the state budget fight. We are just on the cusp of that moment here. The governor has released his budget. The Joint Finance Committee is about to tell us when the public hearings are going to be. And I want to see school board members at those hearings. I want to see parents and superintendents and anybody who cares about public schools showing up to raise their voice there. And if we don't get the budget we need to make sure that we've got people on our Supreme Court who are positioned to hold the state accountable for doing right by its kids. And that's why it's just as important for you to vote every single thing on your ballot this spring, because we've have an opportunity to send somebody to the Supreme Court who either will or won't make sure that the state is meeting its constitutional obligation to its public schools.
Wow, Heather. Holy crap.
Trying to connect all the dots. We only got a couple minutes. I mean, all these things matter.
And Johnny's rocketing in the text. Ask her this, ask her that. We've got so much going on. Hey, Heather, though, most importantly, though, again, thank you for coming on. Where can people go to get more about what's coming up? Where should they find, you and potentially themselves become an accidental expert?
Yeah. And also, you already are an expert, right? Like, by accident or not, like, everybody has their own story to tell. And like, we want to pass you the mic so you can tell it. We want to help you be an everyday ambassador for the things kids need in your community. And if we don't hear from you, we don't know what those needs are. So being connected is really the secret to making a difference and like being effective change makers wherever we live. You don't have to give up your whole life to do this work. You can just tag in where you can. And we'd love for you to visit our website, wisconsinnetwork.org, fool around there, connect with us, send us an email, join our mailing list, check out our questionnaire from the superintendent candidates and see where the candidates stand on the issues. Check out our budget action hub and where you can tag into opportunities to speak up on the state budget. Find out more about what's on your own ballot this spring and why it matters to local kids. We've got all these resources to you and much more. What are vouchers? What are charters? Why should I care about any of this? If you have questions about what's wrong and what's right with how we do public schools in Wisconsin, we've got the resources to help you share that with others.
That is truly busting pencils, man. Heather, Wisconsin Public Education Network, thank you. Johnny and Tim, we're going to try to... I don't know if we can do anything better. We'll be back right now after this.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that law?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that law?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that law?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Man, perfect, perfect music. Busted Pencils fully. Let it education talk, educated educators talking education. Wisconsin Public Education Network Executive Director Heather Dubois-Bernane was our guest. Check it out. Make sure you go to their website. Get active. Make sure that you are, you know, engaged, because as Heather points out, anybody who knows public schools are those places in our communities, those places in our hearts, who know that they need advocates, they need you, particularly all of us as neighbors, to be just like Heather. Hook up with the people right there, though, too. If you're, you know, you're saying, I want to get involved, well, then do it. What a great group of people to get involved with, because, yeah, these are just your neighbors who are taking on the public schools and advocating and championing for them. Speaking of that, too, you want, just, you know, got to throw this out there to remind everybody, bustedpencils.com. It's up. It's live again. Yes, people are like, where's it been? Hey, doesn't matter. It's where it is. It's bustedpencils.com. Check it out. You can get all of the shows, figure out what's happening. And hey, yeah, guess what? Wisconsin Public Education Network, they're one of our partners. In fact, you know what? If you're looking, you can go right to the bustedpencils.com. Click on partners, find them, and then get in touch with Wisconsin Public Education Network. Johnny, holy crap, Heather delivered.
Well, yeah, it's the Wisconsin Public Education Network, and why we love checking in with Heather as often as we do, because they really have their fingers on the pulse of what's happening in communities, right? Like Heather jokes about being, you know, mad, but she's passionate and informed, and, you know, and an advocate for public education, and really means it when, you know, she shares, here's what's going on, but we need to hear more from folks out there, what their experiences are, what their needs locally are, so that we can really continue to, you know, share that story that public education is for all kids in our state to have these wonderful opportunities. But also, it is important. Education is a state right. So when faced with so much, you know, trickle down from our federal policy changes and shifts that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks here, right? They're really coming down hard and fast. And we said, remember, education is a state right. It's really important that locally we say what it is we need. And even the ballot boxes from the, you know, the elections in the fall, right, showed us that even in the most red areas, public education was valued. And so we really need to hold all levels of government accountable to valuing public education. Hey, listener, if you ever have a comment or question, right, you can call or text us at 608-557-8577. Maybe you want to make a comment, ask a question, or say, hey, how can I get more connected? You can always reach out to us here at Busted Pencils, right? You can call or text us at 608-557-8577. Now, Tim, we've talked a lot about elections. Yeah, you mentioned the Busted Pencils website, and you mentioned that the Busted Pencils website was created by one of our very own special guests, educator, Teacher Hallie. But Tim, Teacher Hallie is also running for school board, Menominee Falls School Board 2025 election. Teacher Hallie Newman-Schmeling, I mean, I couldn't be more excited. She's a great educator. So if you're out there in Menominee Falls School District area, Hallie Newman Schmeling, couldn't endorse somebody more personally as an educator. Really excited. But in general, Tim, it's important that people get involved, right? So when is Election Day? April 1st. But early voting starts March 18th. That's just around the corner, right? So if you need to get more details about where you can go to vote, you can go to myvote.wi.gov. Great resources. You can always, of course, connect with the Civic Media website, and they're going to direct you towards where you can get information about voting too. Tim, what a show.
Absolutely, Johnny. Man, I love it. Love it when we have Heather, Wisconsin Public Education Network, joining us. She just really creates that kind of, she gives me a passion again for the work. And you say, you know, we know why Busted Pencils was out there. It's, you know, to be an advocate for public schools, but to get reacquainted with that energy that comes from, you know, our neighbors, just like Heather, being able to engage in that work, you know, and particularly now, I said, you know, it's been, we've been a little bit gloomy and doomy lately since things happened in January that have kind of rocked our world. To hear that excitement that says, hey, guess what? Our public schools matter. And in fact, Heather reminding us that despite what happened in that national election, public schools 100% across, guess what? They continued to dominate in favor, people in favor, people that voted red, people that voted blue. When it came to making that decision on public education, it didn't matter if they were red or blue. They 100, you know, well, not 100%, but depending on where you are, overwhelmingly said, hey, our public schools matter. It doesn't matter what color baseball hat I'm wearing. I support public schools. And that's, you know, again, that's why we loved having Heather on the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Make sure everybody else is out there. Man, what a great show.
And now for your moment of zen. But it seems to me that people who teach social studies want something more. They want young people to come out of their classes imbued with a desire to change the world.
Thanks for listening to Busted Pencils today. And remember to grab great podcasts chock full of more fully leaded education talk on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, the Civic Media website. Hey, make sure to leave us a review. We want to know what you want to think. Give us a rating. Guess what? The more you do that, the more you're going to hear Busted Pencils. That support means anything. And hey, don't be late for homeroom on Monday. Make sure you catch next week's class in session Wednesday. Find us for free throws and face-offs on Friday. And of course, just like today, catch Busted Pencils live at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for an hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny. And keep busting pencils!
Eagle 1490 AM. Dom Selvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kaye, will discuss the American crisis. Also, if the GOP has a mandate, should they be able to pass a stopgap spending bill without Democratic help? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Elon Musk. You're going to fire a bunch of folks. Well, that's going to, you know, increase unemployment. That's going to have an impact on the economy. The government buys farmers' goods for the USAID and no more USAID. Well, this thing's going to rot in the field. What happens to the prices? What happens to the farmers? What is the point here? It just seems like these are just such amateur decision-making, wasting our taxpayer dollars by wasting people's time.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. On Capitol Hill, House Republicans have unveiled a new proposal to fund the government. The bill would keep the government going at current levels through the end of September 2025. Speaker Johnson planning to hold a vote on Tuesday. The U.S. stopped giving Ukraine access to commercial satellite data, and overnight, Russian strikes across Ukraine, leaving at least 20 people dead. In New Jersey, a 26-year-old Newark police officer has died from his wounds after being shot while investigating a possible illegal weapons case Friday night. Police saying five people are in custody, including a 14-year-old who's facing murder charges. Newark Mayor Ross Baraka.
We just have to do a better job. I have to do a better job. Our families have to do a better job. The community has to do a better job at making sure that our children are not handling guns in the street, shooting at police officers.
A second officer who was shot is expected to make a full recovery. This is ABC News. A new investigation.